Welcome to the Dan Time Podcast, the only place where you're going to hear Dan talking to Dan, and never, I repeat never, just any old Dan. These are Dans of significance, of great import, conversations that are going to carry you through your day in a positive way. I'm your host, Dan McArdle. Thanks for being here. You're in the right place. DanTimePod@gmail.com. For any requests, suggestions, nominations for guests, could be you, could be a friend, your dad, your grandpa, your aunt. Listen, I'm still trying to land a conversation, if you could help me, with an octogenarian or a nonagenarian named Dan. If you don't know one directly, maybe there's a guy in your town that everybody knows about. He's 103 years old, and his name is Dan. Send me some information. I'll do the rest. Dan Time Pod across X, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. This is episode number 43. Dan Lovelock, renowned Pensacola, Florida-based singer, keyboardist, band leader, MC, and voice actor, and along with his wife, Crystal, licensed massage therapist and co-owner of Lovelock Healing Arts in Pensacola. This is my first sit-down interview since the Sean Perry episode, and only the fourth of this project, the other two being Danny Zimmern and Dan Lindemann way back there. Head over to the YouTube channel for the unedited video companion to this episode. Also, you'll see some additional live performance footage of Dan, as well as some bonus conversation with the one and only Awen Ascension, Galactic Kids yoga instructor at Lovelock. Dan has spent many years in the Southwest, on the West Coast, in Pensacola, wowing audiences with his prowess behind the piano and his smooth vocals. We talk about his musical upbringing and the opportunities and challenges that he faced as a result of this very unique childhood. Dan's a big guy at 6'8", and he realized a few years ago that maybe his frame was being underutilized and that he could help people offstage as well. Lovelock Healing Arts is a holistic, family-centered approach to whole-body wellness. They offer massage therapy, yoga, bar, workshops, breath work, meditation, energy and sound healing, hypnosis, and programs for infants, kids, and mama and me. Go to lovelockhealingarts.com and check out the schedule and programs being offered. Every Thursday night and Saturday night, you can see Dan perform in the area. Thursdays, upstairs at the District Seville Steak and Seafood. Saturdays at the world-famous Rosie O'Grady's at Seville Quarter. Okay, let's get to the conversation. My little boy Wyatt is going to take a stab at it. Wyatt, let's say it's Dan Lovelock time.
Okay. Dan Lovelock time.
Dan, first of all, thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.
And those of you listening, we don't always have a video component, but it was made possible today just being on site. I love doing this. I wish I could do this with every episode. Let's take it way back here for a minute. So Okay. You're a Pensacola native. Growing up, your grandfather in Pensacola, Jim Robinson, an acclaimed jazz guitarist, and then your parents, both professional musicians. Did you know as a young boy that you had a passion, you're interested? Did someone have to put a guitar in your hands, or did you just know?
Yeah, I 100% knew from the very beginning. I mean, it was just what my life was. And so at the very beginning of my life, I was surrounded by music all the time. Granddad, Jim Robinson, Colonel Jim Robinson, he was in the Pensacola Jazz Society. There were always parties at my grandparents' house, and that was how my mom came up. And then my parents met in a band, and then that continued on. They continued to have other bands here in town. My dad eventually started doing touring all across the country because that was where the better money was once he had two little ones to look after, me and my sister Penny Lane. And so we had, you know, we had some tension there because he was always off on the road. And then one of the ways that that tension was resolved was by moving to Vegas, where he could live and work all in the same city and make great money. And then eventually after that, he got in with the band The Spiral Staircase, which was a one-hit wonder in the 60s. I love you more today than yesterday. That was their big hit single. And then, so they were doing cruise ships, and he got into that band. And then eventually after The Spiral Staircase wound down, as it were, my mom joined him on cruise ships, and then my uncle, her brother, Andy, joined, and then eventually I joined. And so together, we had about 4 years working on cruise ships and playing all over the world. So,
and this is the Melodious Jones band?
Yeah, originally, their original band name was Neptune's Party, and then we switched it over to Melodious Jones.
I really like the story, going back to what you said about your dad was in Las Vegas, but the family was in Pensacola, and this doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes dad just stays away and is not really a part of his children's lives that often. But was this something that your father said, hey, why don't you guys all come out here? Or was it an insistence on your mother saying, look, we got to, or some combination? But
that I don't necessarily have all the details on. You know, it was a family decision. It was basically like, hey, there's all this work out here. I've gotten a couple gigs. It looks really, really promising. I've got lots of great prospects. Let's just pack up and move and move the family out there. And we went out to Vegas and did really well. But my mom's mom was not doing well back here in Milton, where she was living. And so we moved back to be with her after her passing. Then we moved back to Vegas again. And so there was, you know, as any child of a musician or military family or any other, you know, there's some challenges and some opportunities with all of that back and forth all across the country or all around the world. And parts of it make you more resilient. Parts of it make it harder to make friends sometimes. You know, you kind of have a disposition that I don't know how long I'm even going to be around here. So, you know, those are different things that I've struggled with internally to kind of recalibrate and make sure that I don't let those experiences color my present too much. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to come back to Pensacola, was I wanted to reconnect with my roots. I wanted to, I had an amazing career on my own, both the early part with my parents and then later after I went off and did stuff on my own. And I wanted to make sure that I had a time where I played in my own hometown, because I had never done a gig in my own hometown. So that was like a very general and high level goal that I wanted to accomplish for a long time. And I finally made that happen by setting myself up with two career options and going into massage therapy and being able to support my new family with both of those things and make sure that I have the stability and balance to be able to offer all of my talents back to my own hometown.
That's great. It just probably never left you, maybe even in your teenage years or mid-20s, that you thought, there's things I still want to accomplish in Pensacola. Did it feel like it was an unfinished chapter or?
Well, I would say that it was that I had a longing for home, that I would only get to come home a couple times a year. It was always great. I had rose-colored glasses about the whole scene, but I didn't feel that I had unfinished work to do until much later, maybe in my 30s, where I felt like, no, I have some responsibility to go home and like bring what I've learned and experienced from the world back home, because I mean, I'm a reader. I love both fiction, nonfiction, history, etc. And in any hero's journey, the hero goes the hell home at some point. Can't just be out there and then just disappear and not bring home the gold, bring home the knowledge, bring home whatever it is that you've collected from the world. So that was part of what was underlying that desire and that homesickness and nostalgia. And so now I'm here and it's very, very real. And the rose-colored glasses are off and I'm in the weeds, you know, doing the things.
I think that, I mean, Pensacola, for those of you who have not visited the area, it is a great melting pot. You meet people from all over. Some of them did not grow up here, and some of them, like in Dan's case, traveled for a while and have returned. Specifically, speaking about where we are today at Lovelock Healing Arts, I think that you and your wife, Crystal, and your staff here are providing really an essential service and filling a need for the community. How nice is it to, we'll get into some of the details of the business, but to get some of the feedback, whether it's online or in person, about how you're improving people's lives?
It really is. It's one of the most fulfilling things that I have ever experienced, to be truthful. I mean, that, you know, in my mind, what I wanted to do when I went to massage school was to serve people in a more direct and hands-on way than I had been as a musician. And I also wanted to leverage my bodily leverage. In other words, I'm 6'8", north of 200 pounds. Like, I've got some physical presence to use that is underutilized in my musicianship. I could be 4'7", and if I can still sing and play the same way, then that's all right, you know, and maybe even more interesting. I don't know, but I went the opposite way. So, but I am heartened every day to see and feel the impact, and that is the thing that keeps us going, because this is harder. This is so much more than what we had originally planned. Like, in our cutesy little idea, it was like, okay, I'll open a massage clinic. I'll have my massage practice. And then we looked all around and we're like, oh, there's no room. There's nowhere for that. But there's this building. It's right in the middle of downtown. And it was grungy. It needed a lot of love, but it opened up so many other possibilities. And basically my wife at that point had a conversation that we hadn't had before, which was about her bar practice and about the fact that she was the studio manager at the original bar studio in San Francisco, and one of the very first ones in the country that was popularized for not ballet dancers, because it's basically ballet dancer rehab is where that methodology came about. So it's a combination of yoga, ballet, Pilates, physical therapy, kinesiology, etc., all wrapped up into a package. And she started me just having fairly recently been out of massage therapy school. I was like, wait, you're talking my massage language. You're talking body to me right now. And this is really exciting, because I didn't know that was in her. I just thought she worked out and, you know, that's cool. but then it started to be like, oh, maybe we could do this. And maybe we could invite yoga instructors and we could have workshops and we could find other therapists and we could until it manifested. And she put in all the hard work when it came to designing the space and trying to create a customer experience that she wanted to experience. And so together we've grown it from this space into the new Studio B backspace, which is kids focused. Before, we were just running everything out of the front studio and trying to coordinate practitioners, and people are coming in and out, and so it's been an adventure. And that realization, that reminders, and the feedback that we get from people telling us how impactful that has been on their lives or their child's life, it really is the glue that keeps this whole thing going together, because we've got, you know, it's hard. We've never run a business before, and we're making plenty of mistakes and feeling it out as we go along. So I'm just glad people are along for the ride with us.
You're doing something right, and your Google rating, an average of 5 stars out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of these reviews quite colorful and in a good way. Here's one. From the first time I walked in the door of Lovelock, and every time since, I notice the love and attention to detail that has been given to all the things that make the space different from all the rest in our area. Just that first statement there, yeah. I notice it too. Think about the favorite places that you like to go. There's typically an ambiance. There's an olfactory component that draws you back. And there's maybe some water ambiance about places that you love. Yeah. And especially in this realm, that's super important. So she goes on to say, I especially love the intimate space for practicing yoga. It's a place that once through the doors, it's like leaving the world behind. The lighting, the scents, the drapes. She says, I know this is silly, but I even notice how easily and quietly in which they glide on the tracks. It's so nice to have everything ready and waiting for me when I enter. The mats, bolsters, blankets, and blocks. Even tea is served and it's delicious. And she continues to go on. And a lot of the reviews are quite similar, Dan. So how much time did you spend? You opened in January of 22, making sure that you got it right on that first 2 steps through the door experience.
Oh, man, that is 100% crystal. I mean, I certainly built a lot of things. I certainly hung a lot of things. I certainly drilled and did a lot of, you know, different things.
She put your height to good use.
Yes, she did, and as she should have. But yeah, the aesthetic is 100% her, and she gets all credit for that. Not only that, the overall vision of the aesthetic, but just making sure that it stays that way. Because when you're running a business and you have all these different practitioners, it can get out of hand real quick. But then as we've, you know, it wasn't perfect the moment we opened our doors. And as we've been here, we've settled in and we've, you know, that's part of the feeling that you get when you're here, is that we are in it all the time. If you come in these doors, if you walk in any door, you're likely to see me or Crystal or both and our daughter. And we live in this space. We're constantly putting our energy into it and loving it and caring about if, you know, things go wrong or if, and that's a big difference when it comes to studio ownership and why it might feel really different to be in, you know, a big name studio, or doing workouts at the Y or doing these different things, because the responsible entity is elsewhere. The ultimate responsibility of all of this comes down on me and Crystal. And I'm glad I especially laughed at the curtain thing. Because it took me forever to get that sucker to, like, it was catching and I fought it for months. So especially right when we first opened.
Well, again, speaking to serving the community, especially, well, I mean, we're a few years removed from the pandemic, but a lot of people, I think, maybe have some areas in their life that have not been addressed properly. And I want to say this, a thing I notice about you, going back to the experience that people have when they encounter you or Crystal, is your posture. That's something I work on constantly, but you have a good, what you project to someone walking in, it's like you said, we live here, or, you know, this is our place, we care about it, and all that comes across, and it people feel like they're in the right place. Yeah, I just see it being so transformative for people who have sought the same services in other businesses and maybe just not gotten the full experience.
Sure.
This even goes back before the pandemic, and just in general, I think as adults, we feel like our bodies are an afterthought. like they can run without gas, they can run without food. I mean, you know, it's like we just run them through the ground. And it's really easy to do that. And depending on your personality, I think a lot of type A's would say, yeah, you know, that's me. I get 3 hours of sleep. I get 5 hours. I eat when I feel like I absolutely have to eat. You know, that sort of thing. How important, and have you seen the results with people when they take the step in here?
I've seen the results within myself, because that was part of this whole process. Was my wife and I are both performers, both musicians, partied, played, had all the fun. And part of it was I felt like unless the stakes were my survival and the and also like tying my whole life up in this wellness space, that I would never really change or fully commit, or, you know, and there are obviously things that I still struggle with, but, you know, just starting with the body, I mean, the reason why I got into this has a lot to do with how much I abused my body as a musician for almost 20 years. And so having that realization was, you know, was very stark. And it happened on New Year's Eve wedding gig. Before the gig, New Year's Eve, during the day, I'm out in the backyard picking up dog crap, and I tweak my back worse than I can remember. And a massage therapist friend helped me out and helped me get through that gig later on. It was a celebrity wedding on New Year's Eve at the most expensive country club in Scottsdale, Arizona. So the stakes could not be higher. And I'm the MC, I'm the lead, I'm the band leader. I bring all the gear, I bring all the lights. I am the keyboard player, I am the DJ, I am the MC and running around doing, you know, announcing and cocktail hour and all those different things. And all of that is in my back.
What a frightening realization.
And I was like, I gotta do this a different way. I gotta figure out how this thing works a little bit better.
Dan, was this the wedding? I read this on the website where Vince Vaughn was the best man. It says a different one.
That's a different one. Yeah, that was one in LA, and that was a whole different scene. But yeah, I have done, you know, I have thrown myself into every conceivable musical situation that is accessible to me, whether it's been wedding and corporate bands, recording, lounge gigs. All the different things that I've done have turned what originally is just a weird proclivity, which is an eidetic memory for songs. So songs live in here, and all it takes is a little spark to like pull one up in its kind of full form, and my brain just holds that song like a record. And so I can kind of, you know, depending on how many times I've listened to it or how intentionally I've listened to something, I can recall that in the original key and hear parts and all that kind of stuff. And so that proclivity turned into a whole career. And so I've just followed that wherever opportunity has taken me, you know. And speaking of the pandemic, when that came crashing down on my career for 8 months of no gigs or more, when my everything about me was about gigs, that was obviously, that moment was the time where I had enough space for self-reflection to go, Maybe I need to something else, and maybe I need to, and hey, also maybe it could be more intentional than just jump into something else. Maybe I could use what I have and use what I had learned to help other people more directly. And then that opened the opportunity for me to come back here.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, people, and this is just me generally assuming that when they feel run down, they feel like they're overworked, overstressed, the kids are stressing them out, their job is stressing them out, people, they go to places of worship, they go to see a counselor, They talk to their best friend. They go for a walk. But do you feel like people sometimes come in these doors where they thought, why didn't I do this sooner or in addition to all these other things I had going on? I didn't. Or have they used to practice yoga?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it all. And to be honest, I mean, it all works better together. All of the things that you mentioned are therapeutic and very, very, very scientifically grounded to say, when you are feeling down, if you are feeling depressed, you must reach out. As hard as it is, you have to reach out for some kind of connection, because that depression and anxiety is a symptom of a lack of connection. Johann Hari, so many different things are now supporting the conclusion that really at the heart of many, many of those internal states of disquiet and disease is a lack of connection. And we have so many things getting in the way of our connection. COVID is obviously a huge one that threw a big wrench in the works. But long before that, societally, we have a lot of hangover, carryover, cultural practices and different things that stop us from really connecting on a continual basis. And so I find that, especially with massage clients, with lots of different people, that a huge part of the therapy is just someone paying attention with care and holding space for whatever it is that they're going through. And to be 100% clear about this, that is what all therapy is. I mean, whether you're doing yoga, whether you are coming in for a massage, whether you're doing hypnosis, spiritual advising, I mean, there's all the different things that we offer. It really is just an opportunity for you to be in the presence of someone else with some intentional training and the desire to help you help heal yourself. Because there is nothing that I'm going to put my hands on you and go, you're healed. It doesn't work like that. You have to come into the space that I'm holding for you with the desire for healing and restoration, and then be willing to, in that moment, accept that frequency, accept that vibration of, and part of my job is to try to model that or embody that as best as I can. We are, you know, healer, heal thyself. We are none of us perfect. So, but that is the essence of what this business is built around, is the concept that, number one, healing comes from within. I'm not a healer in the way that I do any magic on you. We work together to promote that state of healing within you. And we have built a business around giving opportunities for people to come in and find that healing for themselves, whichever direction they need to come at it. So for plenty of people, it can just be a yoga class. And that in and of itself is moving the ball forward. Or it's a nice massage, or it's energy work, or it's want to go deeper and do some hypnosis and turn off the conscious mind and deal directly with the subconscious mind. So many different practices, sound baths and kundalini, and you know, the list goes on, and it really has been determined by the passion and the training of practitioners who have been attracted to this place. And so we've been incredibly fortunate to be in a time and space where so many different people have those practices available to serve others, and that they have been attracted here. And we, you know, everyone who practices here is just so authentic and amazing at each of their different practices. I keep saying the word practice and it's bothering me. Disciplines, services, all those different things. So it's very gratifying to see that all those connections equal the healing that people need, because ultimately it is the most healing thing is being in community together and feeling that support, and then working on little treatments, little this detail here, this detail there. Let's open it up. Let's open this up. You know, wherever you need to start, that's kind of the way that we've built it. So you can walk in the door and find your thing.
And people are probably comfortable coming in here. And if they happen to get emotional, they probably feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
Certain people maybe feel like they are not included or they're invisible. I think the elderly, sometimes if you walk through a grocery store, if you smile at an elderly person, sometimes they act surprised that you're even still looking at them for more than 2 seconds. I think they go through that. But I think that younger people, whether they're 20s, 30s, or 40s, they also maybe walk through life and their work week, and they don't exchange hugs with people. They're not approached. They're not, and to come in here and actually have someone, a trained professional, where they can get a massage and just open up a new experience for them,
yeah,
in a setting like this is just wonderful. And I think it's the need is only going to continue to increase. And speaking with Awen when I first arrived here, talk a little bit briefly, and then we got to get into some more Dan Lovelock performing career,
yeah,
stuff. But the summer camps that you have for kids,
yeah,
this is so cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so this is new for us this year. We kind of wanted to do it last year, but it didn't come together. But the summer camps that we're doing are a combination of all of the different kids' offerings that we currently have, which are focused on music, yoga, art, mindfulness. And so we are doing 2 different weeks in June and July, 1 week in June, 1 week in July. And they're open for kids who are 4 to 10, and they are 3 hours in the middle of the day. That is, as a parent, I know is incredibly necessary to have some space during the summer for you to get things done, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's serving many, many purposes all at the same time. But kids yoga, and I loved how Awen explained how her class has developed and evolved by following the children in their curiosity and figuring out, oh, well, instead of doing random animal poses, why don't we spell out our names with our bodies, and finding different avenues of that kind of exploration. And it is her primarily driving the classes and using her experience in Galactic Child Yoga, and then also her experience as a musician. She's a professionally trained opera singer and musician, all around musician. And so she's taking all that and her passion for children and weaving it into a elements-themed daily progression, being able to explore, you know, we're going to have some gardening opportunities outside. They're going to play with water. They're going to get to learn. And this is one of those things that's really important for me, is this embodiment, this idea of embodiment, bringing the learning into the child's whole body as often as possible. Because it's great. We're really good at the cerebral stuff. And we can chat. We're the chattiest monkeys ever. But when it comes to our well-being, the equilibrium and that equanimity that we're looking for in our bodies in order to feel well enough to do all this harder stuff up here and be clear and not internally turbulent, requires that it lives in the body. And all of these practices, whether it's early music or yoga, or all these are things that used to be to some degree much more just integrated, baked into childhood. And now, you know, because of the way that we live our lives, it takes some intentionality to add that back in. And so we're trying to offer that, because that's what we know, that we have a 5-year-old, and we know that that's what she needs. And we're like, we got this space again. What, once again, let's open it up. Let's make it available to not just us, and make sure that the Pensacola community has an opportunity to use that backspace. And then later on in the fall, we're setting ourselves up for continued homeschool enrichment program, which will also be during the day. And that will be available to homeschool kids, unschoolers, that will be, I'm just now setting up the platform to be able to accept the PEP funds, like the Florida School Choice funds, so that 3 hours out of every Monday through Thursday, they can have a space where they are continuously learning and interacting, and all worries about, you know, homeschoolers not getting enough social interaction and all that kind of stuff, that you can erase that just like that by just giving them an opportunity. And it gives, and for us as entrepreneurs, we need that too. We need that time to just focus on the business and our own relationship for that matter. And so we're always trying to figure out how we can solve a problem for us, solve a problem for other parents, solve a problem, and do it in a way that just bundles us all together. And so far that's been going really pretty good.
Speaking of you and Crystal, and you run the business together, you probably don't have as much time as you'd love to have to just spend time, just the two of you. You've got a child. What are some things that you and Crystal like to do if you have an evening, if you've got a babysitter, or if you've maybe, do you have a planned out-of-town trip sometimes? Or what are some things that you guys used to do or still like to do sometimes?
Well, and we were talking about this before the show, but we have stopped drinking. And so, you know, the way that we met was I was playing. She came to the lounge that I was playing at. And our whole early relationship was all tied up in alcohol and going out and all that kind of stuff. So now that's part of our current relationship exploration, is like, we have lots of other interests, but because that was our default, that's, you know, what we would just normally go and do, is go have drinks, or go have a meal with drinks, always with drinks. So now that we're choosing a different path, now we're going up. I mean, there are so many springs, there are so many parks, there are so many things all along. I mean, basically, just take a pen and put it on the map somewhere, and there's something to do around here. So never a shortage. And, you know, we are, that's also one of the negotiations that we're trying to make right now in our relationship, is, you know, we cannot always be obsessed over the business, as fun as it is, as stressful and pressure, you know, as it, we have, in order to be good at it, we need to decompress, we need to take our own advice, and we need to, you know, and that's why I say, in all seriousness, like, this business is a process that is also simultaneously meant to help us work on our own healing by serving and by showing us different patterns in the people and the clients that we serve, and learning to embody the correct or more healthy patterns for ourselves so that we can better serve, and that cycle continues. So yeah, so we're doing weekly date nights. We're figuring out, and she's all right now, currently she is in the Pensacola Little Theater production of Rent. And so she's in rehearsals every night. And so that's an added layer of complexity. I'm performing a couple nights a week still, and running all this, and we're doing dad stuff and seeing it clients and et cetera, et cetera. So it is a never-ending juggle, but it's got this momentum now. It's got this rhythm that we're kind of getting into a groove with. And once she's done with Rent in the summer, I mean, it's going to feel like a vacation at that point. That's one of the benefits of adding too much to your plate, is anytime you take something off, you're like, oh, that's really working for me. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I could see a lot of us have a tendency to just fill up every corner of our calendar. And some of it, you look at it, you're like, I don't have to do that. I choose to do that, and it's fun, it's healthy, and whatever, but sometimes it's okay to have some relaxation or work in a hobby. I should take some of that advice sometimes.
Yeah. Spring cleaning with everything. Everyone, you gotta clean out the closet and move stuff along and go, oh, that's not working for me anymore.
Now, Dan, going back to the top of the conversation, you moved to Las Vegas and then Scottsdale. You've had many, many years on stage. And for several years now, you've been the featured player or one of the featured players in the Rosie O'Grady's Dueling Piano Show at Seville Quarter in Pensacola. This is a big deal, folks. If you've got a trip planned to Pensacola, this is a must stop. And if you ask people at your hotel, they're probably going to tell you something similar. Either go to Seville or check out the Dueling Piano Show. You've been performing for a long time. You do some voiceover work. And we were talking earlier that you'd kind of like to shift the balance a little bit. Maybe still perform, but with the business and everything, going back to just moving some pieces around. Is that you'd like to do a little bit more on the voiceover side?
Yeah, definitely. And my mom was a radio DJ when in her high school, like junior, sophomore, or junior, senior year, and out of high school, up in Milton. And yeah, I've been wanting to, you know, play with my voice in other ways. I have done so many different kinds of gigs, and this is really the first time where I've been in a genuine dueling piano bar, but I feel like every gig and every experience that I've had has led up to me being able to even do this, because it's a whole different level of engagement with the audience, pulling requests, doing call downs, doing fight songs, and me having to bust out, you know, Whitney Houston and Celine Dion, because I'm the one who can do it.
Yeah, real quick, I got to say, because I've seen this a few times, and you may have been on stage if this goes back a few years. Folks, this is a high-octane performance. Right. I mean, you're up and down, in and out of the seat.
Well, and unless you come in and request a sad, sappy-ass song, in which case I'm going to do that one for you. And I probably, depending on how it's going, I might call you out on it. And it's been incredibly fun and has brought out a side of me that was never freed before. Because I, you know, for a long time, especially the past few years when I was living in Arizona, I was for the most part in high-end lounges, steak and seafood spots, kind of jazz trio type stuff. And then my main money makers were all these wedding gigs, corporate gigs, Intel, you know, whatever it was going on in Phoenix and in Scottsdale. I would be the number one call there, and also got pulled out to LA and Seattle and San Francisco, like Reno and Lord knows where else. But at a certain point, I wanted to, again, come home, bring what I've learned, and weave that into a new experience. And then I originally was just trying to get a gig at the District, which is across the street from Seville. And that was kind of full up at that point. And then I've later on walked into the Dueling Piano Bar for a networking event. They have a business after hours networking event at Seville, and walk in there, taking the bartender my drink ticket with my wife, and she turns to the pianos and goes, "Hey, when does this happen?" It's like, "Oh, it's tonight. Come on back at 8 and it starts up." And she's like, "Well, did you know that my husband is a badass singer and keyboard player?" It's like, "Well, no, I literally just met you right now, but I'm glad you said something. Come on back tomorrow. The owner, one of the owners will be here, the entertainment director, and you know, you can show him what you got." I'm like, "Cool, I'll be there." And after, you know, nearly two decades of playing around, I sat in with the band for about half an hour. He listened to about 30 seconds of it, and he's like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we'll take him. But I had to work my entire life in order to just walk into a gig like that. So,
and Dan, I haven't seen you perform. I'm hoping to catch some of your performance at the District tonight. Yeah. But I think a big part of it with any musician is if you can engage with the crowd, and I can tell from our conversation, you're probably very adept at engaging. I mean, you have the presence. I'm tall and you're taller. I'm 6'5", you're 6'8", but you naturally, I think people are just drawn to you. and then you give it right back to them. Do you love that part of it?
Yeah, it is an interesting dichotomy for me because part of this whole exploration of being in the wellness space was about me sacrificing the persona that I had built for myself over the years of being a musician and going, no, that's not real. I need to, you know, and that's called persona embodiment, or you can believe that you are your persona. And I wanted to make some very intentional freaking space for that.
Like I'm that guy for 2 or 3 hours,
right,
but not for 24 hours.
And that was hard, you know, that was because I was a full-time performer and I was making killer money doing what I was doing. It's very, you know, it's self-reinforcing. And so that was part of the, you know, that space that COVID gave me was I had to live with just me. It's just me. No one to perform for. And just me, wife, and baby. And, you know, so that was very grounding. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity. But, yeah, you feel free to ask my mom or anybody in my family. I have always sought that attention, have always been desirous of just being out, being big. And I'm like, this is what I'm working with, y'all. And why not? Let's have a good time. And so, but like I said, after 30, you start to go, I guess there's more to life than just having a good time. Maybe I should figure out kind of how to do that as well and still have a good time, but also, you know, mature and progress. And other members of my family are, you know, teachers at Oxford, and my granddad on my dad's side is a neurologist, and there was no pressure. It was just, you know, the example of like, there's lots of stuff you can do there, boy. Don't worry about, you know, it's awesome that you picked a path and that worked really well for you. But again, once, if it starts to feel like it's not working or it's gotten a little, you know, sour on the edges, it might be time to trim some things off. And so, yeah, as I'm moving into deeper and deeper into adulthood and trying to spend as much time with my awesome daughter and beautiful wife as possible, yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, I could, you know, just check into a voiceover studio for a couple hours and then be home for dinner and see clients and continue to expand what we can offer and bring more people into the fold and. So, but yeah, still playing, always plan to play out. I'm hoping to make the district my new performance home, and as well, in addition to all the other 1700 things that I'm doing, I'm playing opening night at Pensacola Little Theater for Rent. So I'll be playing in the atrium during happy hour, like, you know, everybody's coming in and getting drinks and doing and getting ready, and then you'll get to see my wife perform. So that's June 7th, coming up super fast.
Wow. Oh my gosh, Dan, great stuff here. I love talking about both sides of your career, the here and now, and some of the past stuff and the performing stuff. And like you said, I think children, at least for me, it changes your perspective in so many different ways that you could never see coming. You make some lifestyle changes. It's crazy. You look back 10 years and you think, wow, look at what, I mean, you don't even have to be really ashamed of the old you, but you can just say, golly, did it take having kids to quiet all that down?
Sometimes it takes a lot more than that.
Yeah. 5-year-old daughter. I've got a 6-year-old. I have a 3 and a 2-year-old. And you see the years going by and you see the stages going by. So you want to be around and present and involved.
Right.
And I'm so excited for what's in store for you and Crystal and everybody here at Lovelock Healing Arts. How often do you have people return with a friend?
Ooh, well, I mean, I certainly get past client referrals for massage. People who have said, this was the best massage I've ever had. You must go. But yeah, and actually on our on our system, the platform that we use to book everything, they actually, it's weird that you're mentioning that, because they just came out with like an easy way to do guest passes. And so I haven't implemented it yet, but that's going to be something that I'm gonna start rolling out and give everybody who's a member an automatic guest pass one a month, so that, yeah, because we want to see more and more involvement. We want to serve more people and bring the community closer together. And it's funny too, now that I've been here for 3 years, 3 years in 2 days. On June 1st, it'll be 3 years total that we've lived here. And so now I walk down the street, I almost always run into somebody I know or somebody who knows me, because of my exposure in the Dueling Piano Bar at the district. I've done other things. I've do other events, Navy Federal Party, et cetera, et cetera. I'm always getting into all kinds of craziness. So, and that just creates opportunities to see if there's a way that I can serve that person. And I'm doing, because I've been in so many different situations in my life, whether it was, you know, high pressure corporate thing or a celebrity wedding or this, that, or the other, I feel a lot less pressure to impress now, because I've just seen so many different angles of how people behave. Whatever. Do you need some service? If not, no big deal. It's that constant push and pull of how do we think like business owners, and how do we serve like servants? Like, actually, this is one of the things that I really like about doing massage, is weirdly the opportunity to wash somebody's feet, to clean somebody's feet the way that Jesus did. Now, I got a hot towel warmer. Yeah. Jesus didn't have that. But that's something that it just feels like every time I have it done for me, I'm like, there's nothing more simple and kind and straightforward and luxurious than having somebody just clean your feet for you. Yes. And then I'm going beyond that too. But those are just little things that anchor me into this practice and keep me, you know, keep me grounded when I feel like, what is my life?
Right.
Because sometimes it gets, you know, the momentum, just the momentum of everything moving all the time can be overwhelming in and of itself, even if everything's going great, you know.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because an outsider's view might be that someone in your position is in perfect harmony. I mean, look at the wellness spa, that they must be doing everything right, but you're human as well. And I like what you spoke to about being a servant. You know, none of us know how long we're going to be here. And I am interested in making an impact and helping people in the capacity that I can. Right. And I just love hearing what you're doing here in this phase of your life.
Yeah.
And that it's catching on. Dan, I always forget to ask the question of my guest, especially the Dan guests. Most of us weren't born Dan. We started going by Dan at some point in life. Your story may not be, you know, any more exciting than mine, but how old were you when you said, all right, call me Dan? Or
one of the things is that on my dad's side of the family, very many of my male predecessors are Dana or Danny or Daniel, or so as a way to stand out. Like, my mother still calls me Daniel somewhat. She's really, and my aunt JJ, I think that's, I don't know at what point though. I don't know if there was like a definitive switch. I don't really correct people if they call me Daniel. It doesn't bother me in the least. And so, no, I don't know. But yeah.
You okay with Danny?
Danny, I mean, it depends on who's saying it.
That's usually the one I've heard where people say, call me anything but Danny. Mm-hmm. I'm not as it just doesn't happen very often, but if someone wanted to call me Danny and they're being nice about it, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, how men are, like, there's a playfulness and a ribbing and, like, you know, testing you to see, like, what's the edge of your sense of humor. So I'm good with all that. And, I mean, for as awful and offensive as I can be on stage sometimes and just ridiculous, I deserve all the Dannys you can throw at me. So it's fine. It's no big deal.
Okay, I wish we had time for a lot more, for many more questions, but you've been so generous today. Folks, if you're traveling to Pensacola, if you're coming here for business and you're here for a few days, plug this in for one evening or two evenings, whatever you can work in. Another thing I like about Lovelock Healing Arts is you're not on a main thoroughfare. It's in an urban setting, but a walkable setting. You're not pulling into a strip mall. There's a nice approach to it when you park and you walk up. That's huge right there. Sure. So, yeah, if you're staying here, if you're maybe even staying on Pensacola Beach and you've got a vacation planned, you may be coming downtown at least one or two of those days. Check this out and check out the programs for children as well. This has been wonderful. Dan, anything else that we didn't cover? I mean, we didn't cover everything, but covered some great stuff. Yeah. Anything you'd like to promote?
Oh, sure. I mean, you're saying, you know, staying on Pensacola Beach or anything like that. I have more than just me as a massage therapist available. So I send out for out calls and in homes. We have a wide variety of different practitioners who are doing things all across the city at various points. So we have always so many different things. We have our Oyster Bay community classes. Those are just up the street on Main Street in Alkanes and at Oyster Bay Boutique Hotel. So those are just $10 and they're on Saturday mornings. That's it, you know, for people who are struggling or want a low cost, low commitment kind of thing to help get them started. That's a great one because it's beautiful there. We often rotate in some different guests who will either bring like mocktails, like the Curious Elixirs or the guys from the Stretch Zone, or have some different vendors there. So we just try to make that cool and low cost is $10. And then just in general, we are starting to, as this whole process has evolved, we're starting to figure out, okay, we're offering memberships that include the childcare. We're starting to figure out the groove of how to work with this brand new space that we just remodeled. So yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that we're promoting right now are those summer camps. And so if you're in Pensacola and you're looking for a place to send the kids for a couple hours over the summer, there's as you probably already know, if you're here, them summer camps fill up fast. So, and you know, and we're working with about 700 square feet back there. So it's 15 kids max. And so we're going to be doing those. And I forget the precise dates, June and July, one week at a time. And, other than that, our doors are always open. We're really excited to be continuing to deepen our connections into the community. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity to just talk about some stuff and connect with another fellow Dan.
I love it. It's just great. Another tall Dan.
Yeah.
So very unique conversation here. I guess one more wacky question. And if you don't have an immediate answer, that's okay. Dan, if you could pick an actor to portray you in a film and your life story, is there one that immediately comes to mind?
Ian McKellen.
Okay.
For no other reason than he's just, he's just awesome. But I often get weird questions about the way that I look, or like I look like so-and-so, because I have a ethnically ambiguous kind of setup with the really dark hair and dark beard, but blue eyes. And I have a lot of, you know, my family been here for a long time. There's a lot going on in here. So a lot of people will like pick up on a thing that they see in my face that reminds them of an actor or what's the guy who did Spock, new Spock. somebody came up to me just the other day and they're like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from here. Oh, like on the piano, like literally in the middle of a piano bar performance, or my partner was leading the song. No, but I mean, like, where are your people from? I'm like, also here. So she was trying to get me to say, I don't know, some ethnicity or some confirmation of something that she felt. And I'm like, I'm a mutt, girl. I'm American. I mean, it goes all the way back to the beginning. So, and that's one of the reasons, you know, side reasons why I love being in Pensacola, because this is where it all started, for real. European settlement, really, this is the spot. And so when you want to understand how it's going since then, it's interesting to look at it from, you know, the place where it first all started. So I'm grateful to be in Pensacola. I'm grateful that this is my home, and I'm grateful to serve as best as I can, imperfectly as I am. And I'm glad that you reached out and we got to have this conversation.
I am too, Dan. Thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we could do it again sometime.
Okay.
All right, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Check it out. The website is, well, there's actually a couple websites, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, lovelockhealingarts.com, easy. danlovelock.com. All those things will get you to the places that you might be interested in or your favorite platform. So, yeah. And then you can always just find our info, call us up. We'll guide you to something that will serve you. If you're confused or you're like, some of that stuff sounds a little woo-woo. I don't really, is there any science behind that? And most assuredly, yes, on all fronts. And if you want some deeper insight, or you need a little guidance to help you get started, or want to find out more about kids programs, just contact us.
Excellent. Okay, folks, be good to yourself, be good to everybody around you, but I've said it, it's a long time ago, many, many weeks ago, but it starts with you, and look into it. If you're in the area, again, check it out, Lovelock Healing Arts, and have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday on the Dan Time Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.